Welcome to the Launch University Podcast, turning good intentions into reality in your career, business, and life. Here's your host, Jeff Henderson.
Well, thanks again for joining us here at Launch and Learn, and Dave Farmer's here with me. And David, you introduced me several years ago to our guest today, and we've already introduced Sid, but tell us how you and Sid first connected, because it's and then you introduced me to the amazing story of both Sid and Ann Mashburn. So how did you guys first connect?
Well, this was a great discovery. I was actually headed to dinner one night at a restaurant, one of Ford Fry's restaurants. We'll put in a plug for Ford and JCT Kitchen. And I'm walking by, and right before I get to the restaurant, I look in this window, and I see this really cool-looking store that happens to be closed. But I look inside, and I've never seen anything quite like it. And I said, I'm coming back. And so I did. And in the course of, it's a men's clothing store, and in the course of coming back, just met Sid, who was engaging with his customers. And
was it the week before Christmas or the week after Christmas?
I don't think so, actually. But
I thought it was right around Christmas. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, it was kind of like a Christmas gift to find the place. Let me put it that way. Real cool store, ping pong table right in the middle of it all. And so got to know Sid just as he was working in the store. And we just started talking shop, quite frankly. And I learned that beyond just being a great store, had a passion for a lot of the same things I had passion about. And so that's how we sort of began the relationship, as I became a customer at his first store.
And you mentioned first store because now Sid is a franchise. So tell us about that.
Well, Sid, you tell us. Tell us a little bit about where you are today, and then maybe we can back up and talk about how it all began.
Sure. We can go and rewind here. We opened in Dallas, Texas, in November of 13, and then we opened in Georgetown, Washington, in October of 13. That's the ones that Ann affectionately calls our Irish twins, which I think they kind of had this impact on the organization as Irish twins would have too. And then before that, we'd opened in Houston in 2013. And then before that, we'd launched e-commerce in 2011, in the summer of 2011. And in 2010, we had launched Ann's store, which was about 20 yards from where the men's shop is now. And then we launched our men's shop in 2007, in October, around October 15th, 2007, here on the west side in Atlanta.
Yeah, we're in Sid's world headquarters as we speak right now. That's right. On the west side of Atlanta. And Sid's referenced Ann. Sid, share a little bit about Ann and your family. You're a father of five beautiful girls.
Well, the really any success I have can be traced back to my raising by my parents and my family and friends, but I give the most of the credit for any sort of encouragement along the way. You hear a train in the background?
Yeah, we'll just keep going. I mean,
like the train. We keep it rolling all night long,
this
right?
This is a very raw podcast. Yeah, so okay. So you have a train that goes past the office every day, right?
Actually, a few times a day. But anyway, Ann is not only a catalyst, but is a business person, and she's an artist, and she's great with people, and she's a mom of five. And so I couldn't have done this business. We couldn't have gotten anywhere without her hard work and sweat and tears and blood on getting this thing rolling. She and I met in New York on June 2nd, 1985, on the beach. It was not quite the Hamptons. It was a little lower down the food chain in the string of New York beaches, but it was actually the closest beach to New York City. And at the time, she was working at Vogue magazine. She worked for Polly Mellon, who's a legend. And her role was kind of the same role that, or actually almost exactly the same role as Anne Hathaway portrays in Devil Wears Prada. Mm-hmm. So there are many tears. I've got many shirts that were tear stained from the tears that came from working in Vogue. But also, she'll credit Vogue with the great experience, not only in work but also in managing our family. Mm-hmm. So I mean, you look at any of these things that you're doing along the way, any work milestones or you know, highs or even lows as really great things to build on, to add to the foundation of what you're becoming. So that's kind of the way we reflect on that. But anyway, I met her, and we were in the, you know, she was into design because she worked at Vogue. I was working at a place called British Khaki where I was selling and learning how to design. And a friend of hers left, was leaving Vogue to go to a fairly nameless startup catalog company in New Jersey. Not sort of four pillars that you get super excited about in the fashion industry. But she said I should come speak to them. And turns out it was J. Crew. So in the fall of 1985, I went to work for J. Crew as the first menswear designer there. So that was kind of the start. And of course, I grew up working in retail since I'm 15 years old. And funny enough, Anne's family, her father was in, worked for JCPenney's for 40 years. So we both have lint in our blood. My grandparents had dry goods stores, hardware, furniture stores in the middle of an agricultural community in Mississippi. So anyway, that's kind of a brief roundup of where we came from.
So let me just say, if you're listening and you're not familiar with Sid or Ann's store, you can check it out online because they've got great e-commerce site. You can just go to sidmashburn.com or annmashburn.com. And what's fascinating is what began as a men's store. In fact, when I met you, there was no Ann Mashburn. You talked Ann into opening up a store in the
Myself and Michael Phillips, who's the landlord here, talked her into it. And our girls. Our girls were a huge part of talking her into it. Okay, so I actually could be credited with trying to talk her out of it.
Okay. It was in the same center,
yes,
but not connected. And then that changed, and they became connected. And that's sort of the business model going forward. So that's an interesting story, how the business model evolved a little bit. And you can see that, I think, beautifully reflected if you go to the website. And I would encourage listeners to do that and see how you can sort of bounce back and forth between Sid site, Sid store, and store.
Right, right, right. And when we started, you know, we always hoped that we could be together, but there was not the opportunity when we opened her store here in Atlanta. About a year plus after, maybe a couple of years after she opened, the space adjacent to our store became available, so she took that. But we've set it out that the next three stores, we wanted them to be physically separate but connected, okay? Because we really like the women's store to be the women's store and the men's store to be the men's store, but there's just usually a threshold that's separating the two.
Right.
And we're going to open up actually later this year in Brentwood, California, at the Brentwood Country Mart. It'll be the first time we'll do a singular concept. So it'll be just a men's store, be a small, very small footprint, with also a tailoring shop upstairs in another part of the center. So it's and it also kind of leans to our way of how we want to do business. We do not want this thing to become too formulaic. We really want it to feel like it's got some movement to it.
And I want to talk to you about that in terms of how you've been stretched as a leader, opening multiple sites. But one thing I'd like to do is go back. You actually opened this store in maybe the worst financial season to possibly do what you're doing. And for a lot of listeners, they've got a lot of excuses about why they're not launching now. And you could have had a lot of excuses. It's the worst time, and yet you still launched this and it was successful. So tell us your thought process when the economy crumbled and yet you were launching. What was that like for you?
Well, I used to run design for Land's End, so it was about a $2 billion top line revenue business with a lot of people and a lot of customers. I think when I was there, one of the record days at Christmas was, I think we sent out over 180,000 packages in one day. So,
goodness.
But interestingly, that also a lot that I learned really helped us lay the foundation for what this business is going to become. And so, by working at J. Crew, Ralph Lauren, Tommy Hilfiger, and Lands' End, and also growing up in retail, I'd also worked in the food business where service is paramount and sort of job one. We always felt like if we could put really great product at a really good price with really good service out there, that we really didn't have to worry about the economic upturns, downturns, sideways. We just would do our thing. And so that's kind of the way we went at it in a business. I'd call him a friend. You could call him an acquaintance, mentor. I spoke to him after I'd left Land's End. and asked him where the opportunity was. He said, well, wherever you feel it is. And it was so, and so I knew, and Ann was like, Sid, this is crazy. We got five kids, and we probably should go back to New York and just get a job doing what you're doing. And finally, she relented. And then once she relented and we started working on the business, she got pretty fired up. She also had a degree in business, so she was pretty good at accounting. So she became the first CFO of the business. But we launched, you know, I think a lot of my friends were kind of like, what in the world are you doing? You are crazy. You're moving to a city that you've never lived in before. You're launching a business that everybody else is trying to get out of, specializing in a classification, tailored clothing, that everybody is trying to get out of. And so what are you thinking? But I could just kind of, I'd been around the business long enough to kind of see the field a little bit and understand where the open spots were. So that's really what pushed us.
And I want to ask you about that, Sid. You were recently named by GQ magazine the number one independent men's store in the country. So congratulations.
Thank you.
That's really cool. And I think you've achieved that in large part because you bring sort of a different point of view to menswear. And I believe that's, you knew you wanted to be unique. And in response to Jeff's question, I think that's why you had confidence that you weren't just going to be one more of the same thing out there.
Right.
And that enabled you to power through a big downturn in the economy. Talk about your vision for the business and what it is that makes your store unique, what you believed in back when you launched.
Well, I will say this, that along the way, when we did the numbers for the business in the business plan, another key point of the business plan is we said that there's absolutely not going to be a demographic to our business plan. And when you start planning that stuff too tightly, to me, it loses a lot of its interest, because my role in life, or my position in life, is how many people can I connect with?
You know, when you say play too tightly, what do you mean by that? We're gonna go after 33-year-olds.
We don't do that at all.
Yeah.
Our youngest customer ever is 11. Our oldest customer ever is 87. Mm. It doesn't matter what your ethnicity, your religion, your income bracket is. We don't even think about that. When you walk in the door, you cross the threshold and basically cast a vote for us. And so it's incumbent on us to take care of you. So the first way we take care of you is, are you thirsty? You want a cold drink or a hot drink? Make yourself at home. And we don't, at that point, we don't even say, how can we help you find something today? Or what are you looking for? And interestingly, we, at the same time, you know, it's a little bit like a great quarterback who has to see that they got the strong side loaded up and the weak side's a little light, but who's that lurking, you know, about 6 yards back, and is he coming on a blitz? You've got to have the field vision to understand what's going on. So when David walks in and he seems pretty low key and kind of just looking around, you let him be. But if David came in with a brisk walk and asking questions pretty quickly, your EQ has to pick up on that and go, okay, how can I help you? What you need, because our role is how do we get a guy in and out of the store as quickly as possible, or let them be as long as possible. So
some like to just hang out there.
Absolutely, we've built that. So that's why we offer you a drink. That's why we have the ping pong table. We've got an excess of seating areas. We got 4 seating areas in the store that you can just hang out in. We have a lot of guys that come in just do their email in the store. And so it's our role is how do we make our store feel like our home? And when you walk in someone's home, they should be treated as a guest. And so everyone that walks in gets the guest type of treatment. So that's a little bit of what kind of informed our early days is we know that if we can combine design, quality, experience, style, and value, the business will come. We don't have to worry about that. And I'm not saying that we don't worry, because we're thinking all the time. It's like the duck on the water, you know, that's just floating beautifully along, and underneath they're paddling like crazy. That's what we're doing.
When you moved to a new city, well, even this one, Atlanta, what was the first thing you did? I mean, did you try to make connections, or did you just focus on the store and then try to make connections? when you launch into a city, what's one of the first few things you think, I got to do this in this city?
Do either of you guys have a dog, or did y'all grow up with dogs?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you know when you open the door and the dog's ready to go out, but doesn't go out quite yet, and then you can see their nose kind of start twitching, and they're trying to pick up, get some cues? That's what we did when I came down here. I just was picking up on cues. So I had a great friend who I went to college with, Lisa Foot Hoffman, and she was my host when I got down here. She was really the only person I knew. I didn't realize that I knew more people here, but she was the only one that I had kept in touch with and knew. And so she invited me into her home, took excellent care of me, and she drove me around a little bit. And the first night, she and her family took me to dinner at Taqueria del Sol. And so for those of, you know, for those people who don't know Taqueria del Sol, it's a fantastic taco place in Atlanta that serves very delicious, great, freshly made food at great prices. But it's a little bit of a pain to get in and out of. So it's in January of 07, and I'm wondering why I'm standing in line outside in the cold weather for a taco in Atlanta. And after we sat down and ate, I was like, wow, this place is pretty good. So I literally drove from the underground of Atlanta to Lenox, literally every street between, you know, the highways. And by Friday, I'd found a couple of places that I kind of fell to. And this is where art and science come in. Mm-hmm. And I lean on art first because that's my go-to. It's like, what's the neighborhood look like? What are the adjacencies? What are the cars look like? Where are the license plates from? How are the people dressed? Are they dressed up? Are they dressed casually? What's the age groups of the people? Is it a mixed age group or is it just one age group? And so probably one of the places that I thought was super interesting was, is it Spring and West Peachtree and 14th Street at the bottom of where Austin and Byrd and the other, down the street from King and Spalding, there's a Starbucks right
big
there.
Big law firms.
Yeah, big law firms. Big buildings with lots of guys in suits. But I came back to this shopping center on Friday, again, a bit discouraged, to come back to Taqueria del Sol because it was so good. The parking lot was teeming with people. Ford Fry just opened his restaurant, and there was another restaurant in the center called Bacchanalia that had won, I think she'd won two James Beard Awards by now. So the adjacent, and then the B. Braithwaite baby store was there. So the adjacencies there were already sort of crackling.
But this was clearly an up-and-coming area. This was not a well-established area. This was just starting to turn from sort of an industrial side of town to a little more cool. Is that fair?
Yeah, for sure. And so it was very, I mean, today you look at it and you go, good grief, what happened to my neighborhood? Because there's three different apartment buildings with probably 500 apartments in it. There's, you know, there's at least 10 more restaurants in the neighborhood. And so we kind of sensed that it was up and coming, but we also were taking a chance. And then I met the landlord of the center, and he's kind of a visionary, and also met a couple of the other people in the neighborhood. So we took a chance on it, and Ann came and saw it. It was beautifully, I mean, the guy that really did it, or the pair, Michael Phillips and Katie Walker, did a great job in recasting what was before this was a lawnmower repair center. And before that was I think it was an abattoir, basically a slaughterhouse, because it's right here on the railroad, and also it's a little bit like this building that we're currently in. But
there's no longer a lawnmower repair store here.
There's nothing.
The rent's too high for that.
That's right. That's right. But there's a great gathering of stores, Bungalow. The home goods store is across the street. They were one of the pioneers. Annie Quattrano of Bacchanalia was a pioneer. Mike Clank and Eddie Hernandez of Taqueria del Sol, they were pioneers. I mean, these people went out on a limb because this area, you know, when Annie Quattrano got ready to leave Piedmont to come down here, basically her customer said, see you later. And we're not going down to Howell Mill Road off of 14th Street. Well, sure enough, they've all come now. And because she was so great. So also you saw, you know, I didn't just pick this place. In a way, the place picked itself for me, and I felt kind of led to go to this place. And Ann liked it, and I saw these other really good, high quality, you know, food concerns and businesses here. So it wasn't a fluke. You know, so that's what we're always looking for is who else, if we're going into a spot, who are our neighbors?
But what I also hear as you tell that story, a few things that I think can apply for any of us. One, a lot of vision and some guts, you know, to stake on your vision. But you did a lot of homework, as you said, hitting every street, checking out the cars, watching the people, just spending time hanging out. And so that's the kind of legwork any of us can do.
Right.
Got one more question I want to ask you here. It's been about 9 years. It's been quite a journey.
Right.
Still going and blowing.
Right.
But what are you most proud of up to this point?
I think the thing I'm most proud of is that, you know, my parents were here when we opened the store, helping tag clothes, and my father pointed over at the master tailor. We actually introduced the idea of an open tailor shop. No one had really had that in the past, and so we said, you know what, not only are we going to have master tailors and very capable tailors on staff, but we're going to have a master tailor. And
they're right in the middle of the store.
Yes, exactly. So anyway, my father pointed out down, said that guy's going to be one of the keys to your business, and that's been proven to be. So Dow and his team of tailors are a piece of the pride, because they're from all over. They're from they're Latin, they're Asian, they're from all different countries across Asia. The other thing is that my wife and I are able to work on something together, because we're, as everybody knows, the husband and wife team working together has the opportunity for all sorts of fireworks, which ours has, there's no question. But the idea that we can share a vision and work alongside, I'm really, you know, pleased. I guess pride's not the thing that behind that, just so much as I'm really grateful and thankful that I'm able to do that, and also for our girls to be a part of the business, because they all bring a different and special talent that is very connected to my wife and me and our families. So outside of that, I'd say probably the biggest thing is that people love coming to connect with us, and we love sharing with them. And then seeing that we have 135 people, you know, Ann kind of woke up one day when we had about 20 people, and she's like, Sid, do you know that we have 20 people working with us? She said, they've got husbands or wives, and they've got kids. And I said, well, also the vendors, you know, it's like all of a sudden you realize you're part of a much larger community. So in a sense, what we're doing here, we're artists. Our medium is clothes and people relations. But what we're ultimately doing is kind of building community. And that's really what we're trying to do.
You got a nice sized church that's working for you, Sid.
Yeah, and I have some elders to answer to, and some deacons, some over-serving deacons, which is always good. So,
well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to visit with Sid on the second podcast. But I would love for you to do some homework if you're not familiar with Sid. Obviously, if you live in Atlanta, you need to come to his store. But Sid, tell them where they can go online, because then you should also search GQ Style Sid Mashburn. Great article when they named Sid the number one independent men's clothing store. So, but where could they?
You can go online to for the women, or for men who are buying for their women, annmashburn.com, and then for the men's, it's sidmashburn.com.
So do some homework on that. Then we're going to come back in our second podcast with Sid. We're going to talk more about the business, but specifically customer service, and then just personally, how do you manage a business like this, new locations, and then a personal life as well. Sound good, Dave?
Sounds great.
All right, so go to sidmashburn.com and mashburn.com, and then follow us along on the blog, and then we'll see you for the next Launch and Learn podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Launch University podcast. We hope it's helped move you from go-getter to difference maker. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and leave a review. Find more great resources at launchu.net.